Welcome to a powerful message from the Lighthouse Chapel International, Bronx North Branch. Lighthouse Chapel International branches worldwide provide every member the training, support, and encouragement to fulfill the Great Commission and to go to heaven and hear Jesus say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Join us for a life-changing experience as you listen to this message.
Our beloved Father, please come down and lead us. We are waiting on your touch.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days.
Avail our lives to you this afternoon. Father, we put our lives in your hands, oh God. Father, we put our days in your hands, oh God. Oh, the number of our days, oh Lord, they are before you. Lord, we lay them before you, oh God. Lord, we say, consecrate our lives, oh God. We avail ourselves to you. Father, we give our lives as worship unto you. Heavenly Father, we come before you this afternoon. We ask, O God, that you speak to us. We ask, O God, that you mold our lives. We ask, O God, that you transform our lives. Give us a new meaning, O Lord, in our relationship with you. Take our lives, O God. Take our relationships, O God. Take it to another level, oh Lord. Spirit of God, we welcome your presence. I ask, oh God, that I be an empty vessel, that the Spirit will have its free course. Oh Father, I pray that the Spirit will fill me. I pray, oh Lord, that the words that shall proceed out of my mouth shall not be of man's wisdom, but may it be the engrafted word of God. I thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Spirit of God. In the name of Jesus. And all the saints joined me and said, Amen.
Amen.
Why don't you clap for Jesus as you take your seats? And you may be seated. Isn't it powerful worship? Don't we have wonderful people? It's powerful. You see what one man's sacrifice can bring into a church. You see, sometimes pray that the Lord will open your eyes, the Lord will touch you and see an area where you can also contribute or you can help, and it makes a lot of difference. Hallelujah. I was enjoying the worship time, enjoying the praise. It's just powerful. Amen. Wonderful. Well, this afternoon we are going to continue sharing from the book Losing, Suffering, Sacrificing, and Dying. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, we paused for a moment when we were celebrating our Easter convention, and we had a finale on Sunday, but I think it was in the same lines. And today we want to continue. If you are not aware, we have been sharing in this church Feeding 527. Feeding 527. We are so blessed as a church to have this great opportunity that every year we have a period of few weeks that we share from one of the books that our father, the bishop, has written. This is an inspired book, a book that is really filled, spirit-filled, and is blessing us. And I think it's a wonderful opportunity. Hallelujah. It's a wonderful opportunity. So give us 1 Thessalonians 5 and 27. Let me explain to you why we share from a book like that. Why we share from an epistle. Paul charged the church of Thessalonica when he wrote an epistle to them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 27. He says, I command you in the name of the Lord to read this letter to all the brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. He says, I command you in the name of the Lord to read this letter to all the brothers and sisters. You see, a lot of times we have these books available to us. In fact, many of such books that are available to us. But you see, they are written to the brothers and sisters. But not everyone reads it. There are some people that feel it's for the pastors or for the shepherds and so on and so forth. But it's a wonderful book that God has inspired our Father to write and to help us grow in our walk with Christ. Hallelujah. Now, Bishop is a very anointed man of God. He's a very, very anointed. Whenever I begin to talk about Bishop, I get emotional. And so I'm not going to talk so much about him this morning. But he's such an anointed man of God. You see, people have done great things. You see, that is how you have to see that God is with the man. You see, people have done great things. When you look at people, when you look at great men or great women, you realize that you can point to something that a person did. You can point to someone who created or someone who came about the concept of telephone. And maybe that is the only thing you will hear about the person. Do you see? You can hear about someone who came about with the concept of cell phones. Or someone who came about with the concept of color TV. Something like that. You see, and maybe all you hear about the person is that thing that the person created. Do you see? But you see, our bishop, you see, God has anointed this man so much so that the bishop is a pastor. Hallelujah. He's a pastor. By the way, he's also a doctor, a medical doctor. But he put down his profession and responded to this call of God that was upon him. He's a pastor. He's an apostle. He's an evangelist. He's a healer. He is an entrepreneur. He is an administrator. He's everything. He's a prophet. Name it. He is a writer. Hallelujah. He is a writer. Amen. The man is a writer. He writes. And he has written many books. If you turn to the back of this book, you'll see a list of books that he has written. One man. Young man. Hallelujah. And so you will see that the hand of God is upon the man's life. You see, if you take one area of his ministry, that can be a lifetime. It is more than one person's lifetime ministry. And it is not just long ago that we just celebrated his 50th birthday. For those of you who were here. And so you see the anointing of God that is upon the man's life. And so if he has written something, I think it's worth us also reading and sharing from it. Hallelujah. And what is written here is based on the Bible. Amen. It's just the gospel. Hallelujah. And so we have been sharing for some few weeks now. And today we are going to continue. And we are all reading from the book and we are sharing. So I encourage everyone to have a copy of the book. It is called Losing, Suffering, Sacrificing, and Dying. Do we have some more copies? We have some more copies. Okay, so at the end of the service, please see Sister Claire and she will give you a copy of the book. It's only $10, isn't that so? $10. The original price was $14 and we committed ourselves and we were selling it at $10 because I opened my mouth too quickly and so I could not withdraw. And but if the Lord touches your heart and you want to pay the original price, it is $14. So today we want to continue from chapter 2. How to suffer loss for Christ. How to suffer loss for Christ. The book is called Losing, Suffering, Sacrificing, and Dying. Hallelujah. You see, this is true Christianity. You see, we do not want you to be deceived. And we are a church that preach the full gospel. We teach the full gospel. Everything that is in the Bible, we want you to be aware of it. The Bible is not only about praising God and receiving blessings. There is a part of the Bible that involves losing also. There's a part of the gospel that involves sacrificing. Hallelujah. There's a part of the Bible that involves suffering. What a shock. There's a part of the Bible that involves dying. Amen. And we need to know all of it. Amen. So if you will turn with me to Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. I want to read from verse number 1. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. He says, whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. I never get tired of telling you these things. And I do it to safeguard your faith. There are certain things that I have told you before, but I never get tired of telling you again. It is to safeguard your faith. Now, whatever we will do to safeguard your faith, we ought to do it. He says, watch out for those dogs, those people who do evil, those mutilators who say you must be circumcised to be saved. For we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly circumcised. We rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. How many of you rely on what Jesus has done for you? How many of you are glad that Jesus died for you? Oh, very few people are not. There are some few people who are not happy that Jesus died for you. One man of God was saying that if you went somewhere and you said, I am glad that my grandmother died, they would think you are a witch. You say, I am glad that my sister died, they would think you have something to do with the death. But you see, we are saying we are glad, we are happy that Jesus died for us. I am glad that he died for us. I am glad that he died for me. Hallelujah. And you ought to be happy that Jesus died for you also. And that is what your focus should be on. He says that we rely on what Christ has done for us. We put no confidence in human efforts. We put no confidence in human efforts. We do not put any confidence in our efforts. It is not by our efforts. If we are going to mount up to be anything in this world, It is not by our effort. It is not by human effort. Hallelujah. He says, though I could have confidence in my own effort, if anyone could. This is Paul speaking. He says, though, looking at my background and looking at what I have done and looking at what I have achieved, I could have confidence in my own effort. Looking at my ability, I could have confidence in my own effort. I have even more, he says. Verse 5. He says, look at what the background he's talking about. You see, there are some people that have confidence in their efforts because they say, you know, I am from the Lamte family. He says, do you know who you're talking to? Do you know who you're talking to? Sometimes they can't even speak properly. They say, I am from the Boachi family. I am from the Boachi family. Do you know who you're talking to? He said, do you know where I come from? I am from the Boachi family. And you don't know who you're talking to. And based on that, he says, do you know what I have done? Do you know my ancestors? You know, we sit on the throne. You see, we sit on the throne in wherever they are from. And people talk like that because of the background, because of the name they carry, because of the school they went to, because of the degree they have. You see, so they have confidence in their efforts. Hallelujah. You know, when I was in school, and we were about to finish, we were doing clinical rotations. We would go to various places, and you know, I had opportunities. You know, they would offer a job here. He said, "The way you are working, when you finish, come and work with us." And I said, "You know, this kind of job, I don't want this." You know, and then you go to another place and they offer you. You know, you go to this place, you're doing your rotation, and they offer you a job here. Now, I refuse all these places. When I graduated from school, you see, because I thought, I said, when I graduated from school, I said, you know, the way I struggled too much of, you know, school and work and church and this, and the way I struggled, I want to take a little break before I look for a job. So I took a little break, and then because I had confidence that when I want to find a job, it will not be a problem. And then I started sending my application. Hey, I tell you. I said, me, pa, and I'm sending my applications and they are not even responding. It got to a point, I was begging for anything. It got to a point, I was begging for anything. I said, I will take any job. You see, when you rely on your efforts, when you look at your ability, you think you can have it all. So Paul was saying, he says, if others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, I even have more. It means that I have more reasons. He says, I have more reasons to have confidence in my efforts. And he begins to list them. He says, look at me, Paul. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. Now, to be circumcised at 8 days old means you have met the Jewish tradition. Pepe, like that. It means you qualify. On the 8th day, circumcised. He says, I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. It didn't pass to 9, 10. For some people, their parents were not around and those things, they are not real. I was circumcised on the 8th day. He says, I am a pure-blooded citizen of Israel. You know, sometimes we live and say, you say, I am a citizen of the United States of America. I have my passport. I'm from, I live in New York. New York. I live in a city that has two names, New York, New York. And I work in Manhattan. I work on Fifth. I work on Wall Street. Do you know who you're talking to? He says, I am a pure-blooded citizen of Israel. Not half-caste, not mixed. Not one of you that, you know, you migrated from Africa and then you naturalized here and now you have your passport. And not like that. I am a pure-blooded citizen. I am native, original. I did not migrate from Great Britain and my ancestry is from here and there. I am pure-blooded. This is what Paul is saying. He says, I am a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin. A real Hebrew. You see, the Benjamin tribe was an elite tribe. That is a tribe that Kobe is from. He says, a real Hebrew, if there ever was one, I am the one. If there's anything such as a real Hebrew, if you are talking about a real Fanti, I am one, pure Fanti. They say, if you are talking about a real gun, pure gun, I am one. Hallelujah. He says, a real Hebrew, if there was anything as a real Hebrew, I was a member of the Pharisees. You see, the Pharisees were the studious ones. They were lawyers. They were knowledgeable in the scriptures. He says, I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as for righteousness, I obey the Lord without fault. He says, I obey the law without fault. If you are talking about righteousness. This is Paul's credential. He says, I once thought these things were valuable. Once I thought these things were valuable. To have a name, to have degrees, to have a good job, to work in a certain place, to work with a certain company, to have a certain passport. I thought these things were valuable, to have a certain type of job, to have certain types of clothes. But now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. He says, if I look at what Christ has done, I consider all these things worthless. If I look at what Jesus has done, I consider all these things worthless. He says, yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. Now, except that the Spirit of God is upon you, you will not speak like that. That everything else is worthless compared to the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus as your Lord. He says, for his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage. He says, I have counted everything else as garbage so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. Hallelujah. He says, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. He says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Hallelujah. That I may win Christ. That I may win Christ. It comes with a price. If you are going to win Jesus, it comes with a price. It comes with a price of losing. Hallelujah. It comes with the price of counting everything but dung. Now, when you are counting your degree and your job and all the acquisitions, all the things that you have acquired as dung, it becomes a big loss to you. It becomes a big loss to you. But the 12 disciples of Jesus, they said they have lost everything, and they did lose everything. You, No one can follow Christ without losing. If you want to follow Jesus, you have to be prepared. You have to be prepared to lose something. You must be prepared to lose something. They said, Jesus, we are following you and we have left our brothers and sisters. We have left our families. They left their businesses. They were fishermen. They left their businesses and they were following Christ. They left their friends because we realized as they were following them, it was just them. Their families did not go with them. Hallelujah. There must be something that you will lose personally. Hallelujah. There must be some great personal loss before you can follow Jesus. Amen. There must be some great loss before you can follow Jesus. Mark chapter 10 and verse 28. Then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. We have left all and have followed thee. We have left all and have followed thee. You cannot follow Christ and carry everything else with you. You cannot follow Christ and still have your focus on your degree. You cannot follow Christ and your mind is all about the marriage. You cannot follow Christ like that. You cannot follow Christ and all your mind is about your children. You cannot follow Christ. There are some things that you will lose. You will lose money when you are following Jesus. I say you will lose money. You will lose money when your focus is on Christ. Oh, you will lose a lot of money. You see, to look and see that your friends are adding onto their savings. Your friends are adding onto their savings. And then you come to church and then you bring a tenth of your income. You bring a tenth of your income. It appears you have lost something. I say you will lose money. Hallelujah. Is somebody understanding what I'm sharing with you? You will lose money. Sometimes, you see, we decide, oh, I am going to a church that is close by because your church, the church that you attend, you have to take a cab. The church that you attend, because you have to take a taxi, now you don't want to come. Then I will find a church next door. Hallelujah. Sometimes I look at when every time you go to the gas station and then you ask, you say, fill the tank. And then you are standing there as if they are giving it to you for free. And then the thing is running and running and running and running. And then you look at the pump. We are following Christ. It will cost you money to serve Christ. Sometimes people ask, when you tell them at the job, but don't you find any church here? You have to go all the way to New York City to go to church. Can't you find a church around here? It will cost you money. I say it will cost you money. Some of you, you will not take a cab to... Some of you, I didn't come to church because they didn't pick me up. I didn't come to church because they didn't come to pick me up. Or I'm not coming to church because I don't have anyone to drop me home. I say following Christ will cost you something. It will cost you money. Hallelujah. If you are going to follow Jesus, it will cost you money. And if you are not prepared to let money go, the Bible says that you cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and mammon. Godfrey, we can never serve God and mammon. You can never compare money and God. If you focus on money, you will leave God. I say you will lose money if you want to follow Jesus. Hallelujah. You will lose comfort. I say you will lose comfort. You will lose comfort. You say, I have to have my 8 hours sleep. I have to have my 7 hours sleep. I cannot function if I don't sleep for 10 hours. You are going to lose comfort. You will find out real Christians, serious Christians, you always find their eyes are red. Not enough sleep. Not enough sleep. Tired. Hallelujah. you will lose comfort. You will lose sleep. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes your friends will invite you to a program. They invite you. They say, we are having a funeral. We are having a birthday celebration. We are having an outdooring. And you say, when are you having it? We are having it Saturday night at 10 p.m. And then you go, and then you are with them, and then you spend all your night with them. In the morning, 10 a.m., they are still sleeping. And 6 a.m., you have to rise up to prepare to come to church. You will lose your comfort. Hallelujah. I say you will lose your comfort. You will lose your sleep. Some of you, you don't like to feel cold at all. But for Christ's sake, sometimes you have to feel cold. Because guess what? You will feel cold for other things. You will walk in the cold for other things. But when it comes to Jesus, you don't want to feel cold. Hallelujah. Sometimes our children, we say, they are too cold. They cannot come in the cold. My child is too cold. My child will feel too cold. And for that reason, you are not coming to church. But when you are following Jesus, you will lose something. Hallelujah. Some of you have to let go of the Facebook times. Useless socializing. You spend all night socializing on Facebook. What is the point in watching people's photographs? Photographs that people have taken and they have selected the best. It is not real. It's not the real. You see, anyone who puts a book picture on photo on a Facebook, it means the photograph looks nicer than the same person. When the picture is like him or her, it's not good. But when the picture looks nicer than herself or himself, Facebook. And the people are responding, oh, you look cute. Hey, America has changed you. Hey, you look nice. Hey, you look pretty. But it's not you. You know that the thing has become nicer than you. And this is when you spend your time looking at all these pictures that people have selected. Sometimes people who know a little bit about photoshopping, they take their spots from the other face and they remove their spots and then they put it on Facebook. And you spend all your night looking at people's photographs. And when the morning comes, you can't even rise up to pray. You can't even rise up to come to church. Useless socializing. You have to let go of useless socializing. You have to let go of the computer. You sit on the computer surfing all every website. And you see, let me tell you, the enemy has a way of getting you. You see how you are on the internet and you just want to look at something and something else pops up. And then you say, what is this? And then you open it and see. And then another thing pops up. And then you open that one. And another thing. By the time you realize, you are 10 websites from the original place where you want to go. And so you, by the time you realize, it's 10 p.m. But you have to do the thing that you want to do. And we don't see these things. And it's taking your time away from God. It's taking your time away from God. Some people can stay on the TV all night, watching movies after movies. And in the morning, you see, it's not every Christian whose eyes are red that is for fellowshipping with the Lord also. There are other Christians also, the reason why their eyes are red is for other reasons. Amen. I tell you, you cannot insist on your comfort and still serve Christ. You cannot insist on your comfort and still follow Jesus. Hallelujah. You cannot insist on having everything and still serving Jesus. You cannot insist on it. It says we ought to set our affection on things above, not on things here on earth. Hallelujah. Anything that is here on earth, if you set your affections on them, it takes you away from God. It will take you away from God. Hallelujah. Some people want to buy certain cars. And so you work so hard just for that car. But you will not do that hard work just to serve Christ. Because I need to drive this car. I want to sit in this car before I die. You cannot serve God and mammon. Hallelujah. I say you cannot serve God and mammon. Amen. You must lose your family if you want to follow Jesus. I say you must lose your family. And you will lose your family. You will lose your children. Amen. I say you will lose your children. You will lose your sisters. You will lose your brothers. Teresa, if you want to follow God, you will lose something. The Bible says in Luke chapter 14 and verse 26. It says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Sometimes just serving Christ will make you hate your wife. Sometimes just serving Christ, you may hate your husband for the sake of Christ. Hallelujah. Now listen, I'm not talking about hate your wife, your personal reasons, and hide it under the discipleship, under the gospel. I'm not talking about hating your wife under disguise of the ministry. I'm talking about hating your wife for the sake of Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. There are many people who do not fulfill their call because of relationships that they are in. They do not fulfill the call of God upon their lives because of the relationship that they are in. Hallelujah. But if you want to serve Jesus, you must be prepared to sacrifice certain relationships. Hallelujah. You must be prepared to let certain relationships go down. Amen. Is somebody understanding what I'm sharing with you? You must lose your safety and security if you want to serve Jesus. You will lose your safety and security. Jesus sacrificed his safety. Jesus was in heaven. Jesus was walking on the streets of gold. Jesus had a royal crown. And for your sake and for my sake, he lost that safety. In heaven, there are no thieves. I tell you, there are no thieves. I'm announcing it to you. So if you are a thief, you are not going to heaven. Because the streets are gold. How can we allow thieves into heaven if the streets are gold? And even when you steal it, nobody will buy it. Because the streets are gold. Nobody will buy it. Why are you taking it? That is why there are no thieves in heaven. Hallelujah. Sometimes you will lose your safety if you are serving God. Sometimes the driving back and forth, it's risky. Sometimes in the snow and you are driving, you want to be at church. Sometimes it's raining and you can't see, even visibility is lost, but you ought to be in church. Hallelujah. If you are following Christ, you have to lose some safety or be prepared to lose your safety. Hallelujah. You'll be prepared to lose your safety. But sometimes we want to conserve, we want to preserve everything. Hey, I have to have my sleep. I have to have my comfort. I have to have my sleep. The church is in the Bronx. Is it safe? Is it safe? I hear they shoot people in the Bronx. Is it safe? Hallelujah. Amen. You know, there are people, you see, when you put a church here in the Bronx, there are so many people that will not come. But put a hospital here in the Bronx. Sometimes I sit on the 4 train and I look at my colleagues that are going to work. You see, they are all going to the Bronx. And they move from wherever they live for the sake of a job. They will come to the Bronx. But when it comes to a church, they will not. But if you want to serve God, be prepared to let your safety go. Hallelujah. You have to be prepared to lose your security. You will never gain the security of God if you are keeping your own security. Hallelujah. The art of losing The art of losing. Matthew chapter 14, Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 24. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. You have to lose something. You have to be prepared to lose something. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. It says, and Jesus said to his disciples, are you there with me? And Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, he says, if any man will come after me, there is one condition. First, let him deny himself. If anyone wants to follow me, how many of you are followers of Christ? How many of you, or you want to follow Jesus? Five people. Only five people want to follow Jesus. If you want to follow Jesus, if you want to be a follower of Christ, Irene, the Bible is saying, if you are prepared to follow me, then you ought to deny yourself. You ought to deny yourself of comfort. You ought to deny yourself of security. You ought to deny yourself of some money. You ought to deny yourself. He says, the things that you want, you ought to deny them. He says, if anyone, any man wants to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. If you are going to follow Jesus, you have to be prepared to take up your cross. Hallelujah. Now, crosses are not taken. When we carry cross, we don't take them to parties. When you take cross, you don't take them to your bedroom and sleep. When you take a cross, you don't take them to your living room and sit down in the comfort of your living room and be changing channels. When we take up cross, we are taking the cross to a place of sacrificing. When we take up a cross, we are going to a place of losing. When we take up a cross, we are going to a place of dying. Hallelujah. And so it looks as if Jesus is saying that he's making a distinction between who can follow him and who cannot follow him. It means the person who can follow him is the one who is prepared to deny himself. The person who can follow him is the one who is prepared to lose something, to suffer something, to sacrifice something. Hallelujah. I don't know what you have to lose, but you ought to lose something. Anything that stands in your way, that makes you not move on further with God. Anything that stands your way, that makes you not go ahead or elevate your walk with God or get closer in your walk with God, it is something that is requiring you to sacrifice. I say it is a sacrifice that is knocking your door. If you don't let that thing go, you cannot serve God. I'm preaching to you. Oh, yes. I'm preaching to you real Christian message. Hallelujah. I'm not pampering you. I am preaching to you real Christian message. Hallelujah. I am teaching you what you need to do as a Christian. You see, these words, I did not write them. Jesus says, For whosoever, he said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For what is a man profited? He said, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. You see, he said, whosoever shall lose his life for my sake. You can lose your life, but sometimes it's not for the sake of Christ. He says, whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, he shall find it. It appears as if everything that we want is opposite of what God is telling us. That is why he says his ways are not our ways. It appears as if everything that we want is what God does not want. You see, we like to have our lives. We want to save our lives. We want to preserve our lives. But God is saying, anyone that preserves his life, anyone that saves his life, anyone that protects his own life, anyone that protects his own security, anyone that is not prepared to lose his life, that person will lose it. And it sounds as though it is an unwise thing. It sounds as though it makes no sense. True, it will not make sense to you because it is your way. Hallelujah. And anyone who will tell you to preserve your life, I want to tell you that that voice is not from God. Anyone that tells you to preserve your life, you see, when Jesus was telling his disciples about how that he should go to Jerusalem and suffer certain things and then be killed, one of his friends, supposedly friend, came and said, Lord, you can't be doing those things. What? To be killed? What kind of nonsense is that? Man is not supposed to just walk into a life and just be killed. You see, if you know that you are going there and to be killed, why go? It makes no sense. In fact, it's foolishness. Lord, sit down. You can't do such things. Jesus, look at, when you want to give your life up like that, when you want to die, and you have two people, one says, you know, it's not good to do that. You need to protect yourself. You need to preserve your life. And another one says, go and have yourself killed. Who do you think is Satan? Who do you think loves you? You will think that the one that is saying, do not go and preserve your life, is the one that loves you. But God looked at the one who told him not to go. God looked at the person who said, it is not wise to walk into your own death. Jesus looked at him and said, get thee behind me, Satan. He says, get thee behind me, Satan. He says, thou severest not the things of God. Now, when you sever the things of the world, you talk like Satan. When you sever the things of the world, your counseling is from Satan. When you sever the things of the world, your advice is guided by evil spirits. He says, get thee behind me, Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan. And he says, you sever the things of this world and not the things of God. Hallelujah. I tell you, any time someone is preventing you from sacrificing to the Lord, from losing to the Lord, see that person as Satan. Maybe you will not be bold like Jesus to tell him, get thee behind me, Satan, but just walk away from that person. Hallelujah. You must let go. If you are following Jesus, there are certain music that you cannot listen to anymore. As nice as it sounds to you, you can't listen to All Night Long anymore. You can't listen to Killing Me Softly. You can't listen to Celebrate and Holiday and all those things anymore. Hallelujah. You can't listen to certain music. You see, so sometimes you see that the thing is really in you. So you go to a place where they are playing that type of music. And as you are sitting there, you are not dancing. You see, you have not gotten up to dance. But you see, the music is going you. And then as you are sitting there, you are just doing this. Christian sister. And as you are sitting there, you are just doing... You can see that the thing has saturated your spirits. You see, it's fresh, so fresh. And then as you are sitting there, you remember the song and you remember the dance that was there at that time. And so you have not gotten up, but you are dancing a zop already in your chair. You didn't get up, but you are dancing a zop. And as you are sitting there, we can see that you are dancing a zop. As you are sitting there, we can see that you are doing the moonwalk already. We can see. If some of you are too young, huh?
Hallelujah. But you see, certain things have to go. This KK Kabobo, you can't be listening to it anymore. Hallelujah. It has to go. Amen. It has to go. Hallelujah. If you are following Christ, these things must go. Amen.
They have to go.
Hallelujah. If you are serving Jesus, he says that you have to deny yourself. You have to deny yourself. There are certain places that you used to go every Saturday. Every Saturday. Saturday you are there. Every Saturday you are there. But if you are following Jesus, you cannot go to such places anymore. Hallelujah. You go to the African market and you stand in front of the African market with the group, and when we come by, we think you are under the spirit, but you are fallen under other influence. Hallelujah. Amen. You can't be going to certain places any longer. Look, I'm preaching to you. And you all need to analyze your life and say that there are certain things in your life that must go. There are certain things in your life that must go. Hallelujah. There are certain friends that you ought to let go. Amen. You cannot hold on to these friends. They are set back in your Christian walk. They are set back. Because having these friends, they will not encourage you. For you see, you have a friend who is not a Christian. And he's organizing a funeral. And it's Saturday, 10 p.m. And then they invite you, have to drive miles. You see, but if you don't go, you see, they are your friends. So certain friends, if you are following Jesus, they have to go. They must go. They must go. Hallelujah. They must go. Amen. They must go. Certain friends should go. Hallelujah. If you are not prepared to lose certain friends, you will never gain the friends and family that God has given you. Hallelujah. You see, right now, if I show you my phone, all the friends, you see, I went to school with a lot of people. In fact, almost 90% of my classmates, they are in this country. I went to school with a lot of people. And even here, I went to school with a lot of people. But if you look at my phone, I don't have any of these people's phone numbers. The people that I have are these people that God has given me. These are my new friends. These are my new family. Hallelujah. I don't have that time. They must go. They must go. Otherwise, they will hinder your progress in your walk with Christ. If you try to keep them and keep Christ, you realize that you are suffering and you cannot move forward. Hallelujah. You realize you are suffering. Amen. There are certain jobs that you cannot take. I said there are certain jobs you cannot take if you are serving Jesus. There are certain jobs that must go. Hallelujah. They hired you on this job and they say, fourth buttons should be open all the time. What kind of nonsense is that? There are certain jobs that you cannot take. Some lady went to work and the boss said, your buttons are too high. Open up your buttons. Why? Open my buttons for what? Hallelujah. He said, it's not attractive for the job. It's not attractive for the job. You don't take jobs like that. You are taking a job and they say the only days that are available are Sundays, Tuesdays, and Fridays. That is not a job that a Christian should take. How can God bless you with a job that will take you away from Him? God will not bless you with anything that will take you away from Him. So if you have any job that is taking you away from God, don't call it a blessing. Because God will not give you a job that will take you away from Him. Hallelujah. And when you withstand and you say, I am not taking this job because of Christ. You see, he says that you must deny yourself for the sake of Christ. You don't deny yourself. Don't deny the job because the pay is not good. But deny yourself for the sake of Christ. Because some of you, when they say you are working Sunday, but they will pay you a lot of money, you will take the job. You say, Reverend, these days I can't come to church on Sunday because, you know, Reverend, you know how I've been searching for a job for a long time, man. Reverend, but God has blessed me. And now I have this new job that they want me to work on certain days. What certain days? Certain days. You know, that because of that, I will not be able to come to church. It's not from God. Don't say God has blessed you with a job that is taking you away from him. Refuse that job for the sake of Christ. Yes, you need money. The Bible says your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. God knows that you have a need of money. You have a need of it. You need a job. Your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. But he says, these things do the Gentiles seek after. But you, seek ye first my kingdom and its righteousness. And all these other things, they will be added unto you. That is when your focus is on Christ. Hallelujah. And David said, I've been young and I've been old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. If your focus is on Christ, you will not beg. I say, you will not beg. Hallelujah. You will not beg. Amen. You will not beg. There are some jobs that you cannot take. Job that requires that your sketch should be here. You cannot take a job like that. Job that requires that you are serving alcohol. You say, I don't drink, but I just serve. Job that requires you to serve poison to other people is not of God. It's not every job that you have to take. Hallelujah. Your job, you're selling cigarettes. Cigarette is what you're selling. You're selling cigar. You say, I have different kinds, and you are selling. That is not a job that is from God. What kind of job is that? Hallelujah. You must lose some of these things. Hallelujah. You see, because you either will lose it one way or the other. Hallelujah. The loss is going to come anyway. I say you will lose it anyway. You will lose it anyway, but lose it for the sake of Christ. I say lose it for the sake of Christ. Lose it for the sake of Christ. If you are going to lose it, let it be lost because of Christ. Hallelujah. Sometimes we want to preserve. Sometimes we want to preserve. You see, God's way, the way what you are preserving is in a way you are losing it. As you think you are protecting your children and you don't want them to come in the cold, and because of that, you don't want them to be here, you don't want them to be this. Sometimes because of our children, we don't want to do certain things. Look, sometimes I feel it that, you know, we as church and come, sometimes our children rise up and say, Daddy, these days we don't do anything else but church. We go to church and we come. Can we do this? Can we go to see a movie this weekend? Can we go to sit in a restaurant this weekend? Can we do this? And they say, oh, we have all night service. We have all night prayer meeting. We have turning points. Oh, we have convention. We have this. You see, sometimes you look and it's painful. It's painful. But you have to deny yourself. You have to deny yourself. Sometimes they are very sleepy. They are very sleepy. And then you wake them up. Come on, we got to go. We live very far. We have to go. Wake up. And you see them, when they sit in their car, they are all gone. But we are going. Sometimes they have a lot of homework. They have tests coming the next day. And you bring them evening. Sunday evening. And we are bringing our children. Hallelujah. Sometimes you are from work and you look very tired. Sometimes I look at your faces. Sometimes they are coming with uniforms and all sorts of things. Very tired, but you are coming. Your labor in the Lord is not in vain. I say your labor in the Lord is not in vain. You will lose it, but sacrifice it to the Lord. Sacrifice it to the Lord. Hallelujah. Sometimes you see people that protect their husbands. They don't want their husbands to do the work of the ministry. You see, you will lose the husband, but I want you to lose it to Christ. Bishop talks about a woman who, hey, anytime church members, the husband was involved with the church work, and anytime church members are calling the husband, she's trying to protect the husband. She doesn't want anyone to talk to him. She doesn't want anyone to come close to him. She protects, and one day, by the time she realized, the husband is not going to church as often. So now she's happy, because now she has a husband all to herself. The next thing she realized, the husband is now looking at, when the woman passes, then she's looking. He says, hey, he says, you are not the church elder. She says, no more. The man's eyes are following women's battles. Like that. And then, you are not the church member. He says, no more. You see, and then she realized that now the man has eyes on other women. And the next thing she quickly, where did she run to? To the pastor. Women, listen, encourage your husbands. Push them to the ministry. Push them to the work of God. If you want them, you say that if you keep your life, you will lose it. So if you want your husband, push your husband into the ministry work. If you want your husband, push your husband into the ministry work. You see, God never takes and keeps it. God will take and he will multiply it and he will give back to you. Give that one husband to the Lord. The Lord will multiply him and he will give him back many husbands to you. Not only one husband who opened car doors. But many husbands, a husband not only open car doors, but he buys you flowers. A husband not only open car doors, but he buys you card on your birthday. You see, sometimes I hear when people are talking and they say, ask my husband is a very good, my husband is a very good father. The only thing is, he's never home. You see, that is not a husband that God will multiply and give back to you. My husband is a very good caretaker. He takes care of the children. The only problem is he's never home. That is not the type of husband that God will give you. Hallelujah. I say, take the husband, give him to the Lord. He will multiply him. You see, sometimes it looks as if you are losing him. It looks as if he's never available. It looks as if he's spending too much time with the work, too much time with the church. He's doing too many things. But give him to the Lord. Push him. When he comes home, say, why are you home so early? Go back to church. Go to church. Go, 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 go. My husband is a good provider, but he doesn't spend time with me. That is not the type. God will take that husband. He's a provider. That is one husband. He will multiply him into a person that spends time with you. He will multiply him into a person that buys you flowers. He will multiply him into a person that walks in the store and she sees a nice dress. And she says, here, take it. But you see, when we ask your husbands, when we ask them to do something, you are in the way. You are too much. Yeah, these days you spend too much time in the church. You are always in the church. Why? You don't spend time with me. You want him to spend time with you. He will spend time with other women also. Hallelujah. Look, don't get me wrong. Look, ladies, every man has a tendency. You see, every man has a tendency not to just be with one woman. Do you understand? Listen. Every man has a tendency to be with more women. Do you understand? That is the nature of man. Are you listening to me? Take it from me. Don't listen to these husbands who have been lying to you. Listen to me. Every man, every husband also have eyes that can see nice face, that can see nice buttocks, that can see nice breasts. Every man has the eyes to see also. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? If the man had the eyes to see yours and then agree with me that he has the same eyes to see others. Hallelujah. You see, if you look at animals, do you see the male animals? You see, we are all animals. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? Except that we are higher species. Do you understand? But that animals, you never see the lion with only one woman. Or you never see the dog only chasing one woman. Everywhere she's following you like that. Or you never see what other animal? The goat, the sheep. Hey! I'm for the goat and the sheep. So you see, that instinct is in them. That instinct is in man. But there is something called the Word of God. There is something called the Spirit of God. It tames that desire. It puts you in a place where you deny yourself. What that you will see, there is something about the Spirit of God that when it's over you, you will see a beautiful woman. Yes, it's a beautiful woman. That is all to it. There is no other attraction. Are you understanding me? There is no other affection. All you see is a nice present. It's a nice thing that God has created. But there is one thing that when you see, certain things start going into your skin. Are you understanding what I'm saying? There is one person. When you see that person, you see that certain chemistry, it is running in you. Then the Spirit is free. Then the Spirit releases. Then the Spirit allows you. And there's certain things going in your skin and going to certain places. It takes the Spirit of God. Put your hands together for the Lord and stand unto your feet. It takes the Spirit of God. It takes the Spirit of God. It says you ought to deny yourself. Deny yourself for certain pleasures. Deny yourself. Deny yourself. Deny yourself. Deny yourself. Deny yourself. If you want to follow me. He says, if you want to follow me, first, you have to deny yourself. Be prepared to take up your cross. Be prepared to take up your cross. I don't know what your cross is. Some of you, your cross is sleep. That is your cross. Whatever is standing in your way, whatever prevents you from serving God, it becomes your cross. And you need to take up your cross. Some of you, it is money. Some of you, just paying tithe has taken you out of the church because you don't want to be committed like that. Some of you, it is relationship. It is your marriage. It has taken all over you. And because of that, you cannot serve God. You cannot even give time to the Lord. But if you deny yourself, he says that God will take. He will multiply and he will give back to you. He will take those few loaves of bread and fish. He will multiply it and he will give back. He never keeps for himself. Oh, yes. Oh, Lord, help us. Help us. Father, help us. Whatever that stands our way, oh Lord. Whatever that stands our way. Anything that stands our way. That makes us not serve you, oh God. That takes you away from us, oh Lord. Father, we ask, oh God. We ask, we ask, we ask.
Who you are. So when you call my name.
Oh,
I'll say
yes, oh God.
To you,
yes.
Yes,
yes. Oh Lord, help us.
I'm listening.
Yes, Lord, help us. What stands in our way? What is standing in our way, oh God? What is standing in our way? What is standing in our way? What is standing in our way? Oh,
how you see.
Anything that is standing in our way, Lord. Anything that is making us not go further. Lord, remove them from our lives. Remove them from our lives. Remove them, oh God. He says, he that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loses his life, if you lose your life for his sake, you shall find it. Anyone? Oh,
I'm listening, Lord. Speak to me.
Dear Lord, speak to me, speak to me, speak to me. Oh, speak to me, speak to me, Lord. I'm listening, speak to me,
speak to me.
I wanna be dear Lord,
where you are.
I wanna know who you are. So when you call my name, I'll say to you, dear Lord, here I am. Lord, I'm listening.
Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for what you have revealed to us. Father, there are things that stand our way, oh God. There are things that prevent us from working with you. Father, sometimes it is our jobs. Sometimes it's our relationships. Sometimes it's our children. It's our family, oh God. Sometimes it's our comfort.
Let me hear your voice.
Father, sometimes we have preserved our safety. We focus so much on our careers, oh God. Father, there are things that have come our way, oh Lord. Things that stand in our way that prevents us from serving you. Lord, we pray, oh God, that you give us the courage to sacrifice these things. We give us the courage, oh Lord, to let go of these things. For you say, anyone that loses his life shall find it. Father, may we be prepared to lose our lives.
Help us to see how you see, Lord.
Lord, we pray that if there be anything in our lives, if there be anything that stands in our way, Father, that causes us, oh Lord, not to take that next step in our walk with you. Father, some of us are called to be pastors. Some of us are called to be lady pastors. Some of us are called to be singers in your house. Some of us are called to be instrumentalists. Some of us are called to be ushers. Lord, our focus have been on things that are preventing us from call, responding to your call. We ask, oh God, that you give us the courage to lose these things for your sake. Father, you say we will lose them anyway. But may we lose them for your sake. May we lose them for the sake of Jesus. May we lose them because we walk with you. May we lose them because we love you. May we lose them because we want to follow you. May we lose them because we want to serve you. We thank you, Lord, for where you have brought us. Father, take us further. Lead us on. Remove every obstacle that is in our way. Help us, Lord, to walk with you. We thank you, Jesus. We love you. In the name of Jesus. If anyone is here this afternoon, you are here this afternoon, you want to give your life to Jesus. You are not born again. You say, I want to receive Jesus into my life. I want to give my life to Jesus. If that is your prayer, you are here this afternoon, you say, I want Jesus to come into my life. I want to have Jesus in my life. I want Jesus to be my Savior.
You say, I am not born again, but sister, my brother, do not live here without receiving Jesus as your Savior. Do not live here without receiving Christ as your Savior. If you are here this afternoon, you want to give your life to Jesus, I want you to lift up your hand. Just your right hand, wherever you are, and I'll say a very short prayer with you. You are here, you want to receive Jesus. God bless you. God bless you. Anyone here like that, you say, I want to receive Jesus. God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? Anyone else? You want to receive Jesus? Keep your hand up. Anyone else? Oh, it's a wonderful move. God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? You don't live here without receiving Jesus Christ. You will not know when. You will not know when he will call you. You will not know. You will never know when he will call you. Anyone else? You want to join them? Anyone else? You want to join them? Anyone else want to join them? Anyone else want to join? Don't live here without receiving Jesus. I want you to take one bold step. Another bold step. I want you to come forward here with me. Just come here. Come here. Come here. Come here. It is a great walk. My sister, come. My sister, come. Come, come, come. Don't be shy of Jesus. He says, if you deny me before men, I will also deny you before angels. My sister, don't be shy. Come, come.
I surrender.
Don't be shy of
Lord,
Jesus.
I surrender.
I surrender.
All to thee.
All to thee, my blessed Savior. I want you to say this with me. My sister, I want you also to join and say this with me. And everyone else, I want you to join and say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Thank you for dying for me.
Thank you for dying for me.
I am a sinner.
I am a sinner.
I believe you are the Son of God.
I believe you are the Son of God.
I believe you died for my sins.
I believe you died for
me. I believe you rose up again.
I believe you rose
on the third day.
Lord Jesus,
you went on the cross,
all for my sake.
Please forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Please come and live in my heart.
Take
control of my life.
Be my master.
Be my savior.
Be my Lord.
Say, Satan.
Satan,
I do not serve you.
I serve Jesus.
From today, listen to me.
Jesus Christ
is my master. He's my Savior.
My
I will serve Jesus.
I will follow Jesus
all the days of my life.
Lord Jesus,
please write my name
in the book of life.
Thank you, Jesus,
for saving me.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Brother, God bless you. God bless you. Father, we thank you for this deed. Your word gives us that assurance, oh Lord, that this moment, because you have brought one lost sheep back into your kingdom, you say the heavens rejoice. The angels are rejoicing. Heavenly Father, we join the angels of heaven and we rejoice for what you have done today. We pray, Lord, that you build a shield around your servant. I pray, Father, that you make this shield visible to the enemy. In the name of Jesus, I pray, Father, that you preserve him. May the word that has come into his heart, oh Lord, may he never be taken away. May you rebuke the birds of the air, oh God, that come to steal the word from our hearts. We thank you, Lord, for this great deed. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
We hope you have been blessed immensely by this message. Join us at 1734 Williamsbridge Road in the Bronx on Sunday afternoons and Tuesday evenings. For copies of this and other messages, contact us via email at lci.bronx@gmail.com.